again, talk to you today about faith. You know, we're a Word of Faith church, and so we want to make sure that we're all on the same page when it comes to faith and how we walk in faith and that kind of thing. You know, a lot of people go to church, but they don't necessarily walk in faith. They had faith to get saved, but they've never taken that faith past that. So let's look at some things here. Hebrews 11:6. We're going to start out there. We're going to go to the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. And let's first start out with verse 6. Notice what it says here in verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Please who? God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now I want you to just get a hold of that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see that? Two things it says. Number one, you've got to believe that He is. Well, you know, a lot of people believe that He is. But the problem in the church is that most people don't believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. All they believe is once I get saved, that's it. Now, there's no more. I've done what I'm supposed to do. Just get saved and come to church. But I'm going to tell you something. When you got saved, you just got started. You just moved into covenant with God. And so now the Word of God is open to you, and all the promises that He has are yes and amen to you. But you must reach out and get a hold of them by faith. So he says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So what is faith? Well, we're there in Hebrews. And in Hebrews 11:1 is a biblical divination here. I believe the writer of Hebrews is Paul. You can, and I know theologians, they disagree back and forth. But the writer of Hebrews says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers talk about this, and it's true. It says, now faith is, and you know, they turn around and say, faith is now, and that's true. Faith is now, you believe now. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't give that to you from the Amplified, because it really pulls it out. It says, now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So, in other words, your faith notices the title deed. Even though you've not seen it yet, faith says, I already have it. So let me just give you a little simplified version of that. You know, this is kind of my version of it. Faith is simply believing in your heart that something you can't see with your eyes is true or going to come to pass. Okay? Faith is something that you believe in your heart is going to come to pass even though you haven't seen it with your eyes. Now, see, you've got to understand that that's also the definition of fear. I've taught this before. You ought to know this. What is fear? Fear is believing in your heart that something's going to happen, right? Even though you've not seen it yet. Amen. That's where a lot of people mess up. Instead of getting in faith, they get over in fear. Fear will cancel out faith, and faith can cancel out fear. See, so you have to stay in faith and not get over in fear. A lot of folks, you know, during the pandemic, they got over into fear instead of getting over into faith. Yeah, but now I know a lot of you faith people, you ended up with COVID. Yeah, we sure did. We got attacked too, but we never got out of faith and never got over into fear. Come on. We didn't get afraid. We didn't lock ourselves down and that kind of thing. I'd have just went ahead about business as usual, except for respect for other people. So you're looking at me funny. Why would you do that? Because I refuse to give the devil any place. I wasn't going to give him the satisfaction of keeping me at the house. You know, so I found out that, you know, you could separate yourself by going fishing. wasn't too bad. You could separate yourself by doing other things. You know, it was amazing to watch and see. It was I actually took off at one point during this thing, the pandemic. You know, they had the roads closed down and all that was going on. And well, I found out there was a kayak way over in West Virginia somewhere. So I said, I'm going to go get that thing. And that place was open. So I went out and here I am going down 64. They're saying the signs, you know, stay off the road unless it's emergency. Now, I know y'all probably thinking bad of me, but I'm sitting here thinking, these people are idiots. I mean, they're shutting all this down. They're telling us that if you wear a mask and stay 6 foot away from somebody, that it's not catching. Right? Wasn't that what they said? Come on now. So I figure if I'm passing somebody in the car, I'm probably not going to catch it. Right? And here's the thing, hardly nobody on the highway. It was desolate. Why would you go ahead and do that? Because I believe in God. Now, that made people mad. You ought to stay at home. You know, they never did tell you you had to stay home. Now, some of them got a little desperate and wanted to call and try to find, you know. But, hey, listen, I can be just as separate on a lake as I can be in my house, probably more. I was by myself going down there and coming back. Why would I do that? Because I refused to get over in fear. My thinking was, I refuse to let the devil mess up my life with this stupid stuff. I'm not going to let him change my lifestyle because of this stupid. Now, did I comply when I went to Walmart and put on a mask? I did. Just out of respect for other people. When I went to somewhere that they required it, I would do that because of that. But, you know, that's the thing, folks. Then we find out after it's all said and done that all of it was propaganda, most of it anyway. You know, you've got to wear a mask. Then all of a sudden, it might be better if you wore two. And then they said, you know, maybe even three when you're in the house. I'm surprised. You know what, if they'd have said it, and if you'll put on a clown hat, that'll keep it from going through your head. I promise you there'd been people running around, driving around in vehicles by themselves with three masks on and a clown hat. That's how much they bought into this stuff. You see, it was because of fear. So we don't want to be in fear. We want to get over in faith. Amen. You see, people that are in fear, they'll do crazy things. The Bible says fear hath torment. Neighbors were calling on neighbors. They were calling the health department. I talked to them down there. I said, you wouldn't believe the calls we've got. People ratting other people out. Oh, they've got COVID and I saw them out. Well, maybe, just maybe, they had to get out and go somewhere. And if they were in the car by themselves, how was they affecting you? See what I'm saying? So we got to make sure that we're not over in fear and we're over in faith and walking in faith. Now, you see, believing in your heart that something you can't see with your eyes is going to come to pass sometimes is a little tough for us. We have some problem with that. So we have to make sure that we understand how we get faith and how that helps us in our believing. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, let's just jump there. So I'm going to show you here how we get faith, where faith comes from. Romans 12, 2 says this. I'm sorry, I put 12:2. I think I wanted to go on with verse 3. It says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So see, we see here that every one of us have been given the measure of faith by God. Every one of us have saving faith. You have faith to be saved. Whether you feel like you've got any faith or not, God gave you that measure of faith. Now, here's the thing about that. You can get saved on that faith, but if you want to move on into the promises of God, you need to build on that faith. Amen. See, when you get into the kingdom of God, There's things that people, you know, they'll look at somebody and go, well, they're just super spiritual. No, they're building their faith. You see, because, you know, I mean, you can look, and I use this as an example all the time. Everybody got muscles, but not everybody's muscles are the same. They have the same muscles, but all their muscles are not the same. Right? Anybody see some bodybuilders walking around? Come on, you can tell as soon as you see them, they work out. They can't put their arms down, especially the guys, you know. I mean, they're all bulked up, and, you know, that's the same muscles I got. Okay? But those are built up, you know. I mean, you walk around. I use this a lot, too. You know, you walk around with, you know, there's some of the guys that are doing that. You know, they always, you can kind of tell, they either cut their shirts off up to here or just don't wear a shirt because they want to show off their six-pack. They want to show off those muscles there that they've built up in their stomach, you know. I could do that, but I'd be showing off my keg instead of my six-pack, you know. Right? But what I'm trying to say is that they had to build those. And you and I have to build our faith. Well, how do we build our faith? Well, Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We build our faith through and by the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, listening to the preaching, getting over in and letting that build up our spirit man. When we get into the Word of God, it begins to build our faith, and a continuous influx of the Word of God will give you the ability to now believe for things that you couldn't believe for when you first got saved. Why? Because I'm hearing the Word and hearing the Word and hearing the Word and the hearing the Word. So the more I know the Word, the stronger my relationship comes with God, and the more I trust God. See, as I build my faith through the Word of God, then I start using the Word of God. God starts answering the Word of God, and all of a sudden I see, hey, that works. Faith actually works. God's not lying. He's telling the truth when He says, when you believe for a thing, you can have it. You see, and so we have to get into the Word and make sure we're building our faith. You'll never be able to believe God for something that you don't have faith for. And you'll never be able to believe God for something that you don't know you can have. And see, here's the thing. Than what you know in the Word of God. In other words, what Word I know, that's the most faith I can have. The more Word I know, the more faith I can have. Okay? So we need to see how important. Remember, it's impossible to please God without faith. If we've got more faith in something else than we have God, then see, that's not going to help us any. You can have faith in things. You have faith that you'll go out there and your car is going to start. Most of you won't even give it a second thought, right? You don't even think about it unless you hit the key and nothing happens. You're just having faith. See, that's the kind of faith you ought to have in God. You don't even think about, will God do this? Will God? You don't go out there and say, well, man, I sure hope our car starts up today. Right? How many of you thought that this morning when you got in your car? Nobody. You just get in there and start it up. Well, what if we did that with God like we should? Wonder if this Word's going to work. Well, sure it's going to work. God said it would. And He can't lie. Matter of fact, God answering for you, God working for you is a whole lot more reliable than your vehicle. Sooner or later, your battery wears out and you've got to replace it. But God's always there. He never wears out. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we get in the Word, and the more we learn that Word, the more our faith grows. Listen to this. I'll give you about three examples here. When Simon Peter was out on the boat with Jesus. Jesus had been teaching, and he got in the boat, and he told Simon and them they were washing their nets. They'd fished all night and hadn't caught anything. And Jesus bars the boat, preaches a sermon to the people, then tells Peter, he says, come on, let's launch out, get ready for our big catch. And Peter looks at him, he says, now, Lord, we've toiled all night, and we've not caught anything. In other words, he said, we fished all night, we've not caught a thing. But he says, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. And when he let down the net at the word of the Lord Jesus, He caught so many fish, they had to call their partners with the other boat, and both the boats almost sank. You see, that was at the Word. So the Word works and the Word produces for us in our life when we obey the Word. Peter could have said, "Nah, Lord, that's a waste of time." And that's what a lot of Christians say. "Well, that's a waste of time to believe that. I can't believe that." And you won't never get it. Peter would have never gotten a boat full of fish unless he did what the Word of Jesus said, and that was let down your net. When the centurion came to the Lord Jesus, he said, "You know, my servant's lying at home, grievously tormented. He's about to die." And Jesus says, "Well, I'll come and heal him." And the centurion looked at him and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but you speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." Notice the word. You speak the word, and my servant will be healed. You don't got to come there. You say the word here, and I know the word you say here will go there and heal him. What was that? That's faith. And his servant was healed. You see, that's what God expects out of us. He expects us to get to the place where that word is so real to us, we're just like the centurion. Jesus don't got to appear. I've got his word. Come on now. You see, because really, this is the word. Jesus is the word. The word's Jesus. Remember, the word was made flesh and dwelled among us. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the word. We have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. What else do we need? Come on, think about it for a minute. So we get faith then, first of all, by God giving us a measure, and then we build on that faith by the Word of God, right? Now, once we begin to build that faith, then we've got to understand how to activate that faith. In other words, make it work for us, because you can have a head full of the Word, a heart full of the Word, but if you don't know how to use that Word in faith, it's not going to help you any. Amen. There's a lot of scholars out there that probably even have most of the Bible memorized, but it's not helping them any because they don't know how to use it with faith. They don't know how to activate their faith in God, you see. I went to a service one time, and man, that guy, he stood up, he started quoting scriptures, and he could just quote and quote and quote and quote. And you know what? Nobody in the house moved. You know why? Because all it was him quoting scriptures from his head. Now, that was the Word. There's nothing wrong with the Word. But what I'm telling you, there was no spirit with it because there was no faith mixed with it, because it was more or less, let me show you how I can impress you by giving you the Word. I don't want to impress you with the Word. I want the Spirit of God to move in this house. Because God will watch over His Word to hasten that. Right? Amen. So let's see how to activate our faith. Let's see how to do it. First of all, let's go look and see how Jesus said to do it. Over in Mark chapter 11, of course. Mark chapter 11. I want to back all the way up, though, and I want to go all the way back to verse 12 here. And it says, "On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went to the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith to him, Have faith in God. Now I want to stop here before we go on with this. and just let you see the picture. Many of you already know it. Maybe some of you don't know it. But what I want you to see here is you see Jesus leaving Bethany. He goes into to Jerusalem. He comes back out that night. And then that's the next morning when they come back in that Peter notices the tree that has been dried up from the roots. See, that afternoon when they came back, apparently nothing was different there. Because Peter was pretty inquisitive. I think he would have said, look there, Lord, that tree. You have to know that if Jesus cursed that tree, Peter being Peter was watching that tree like a hawk. You have to know when they walked back by that tree that afternoon, Peter was looking to see if anything happened to that tree. And the next morning he looked to see, and he says, look there, Master, it's dried up from the roots. Well, you've got to understand something. The Lord Jesus, when he spoke to that tree, from the moment he spoke to that tree was gone. It was dead. It was not going to bear any fruit. He spoke to the root. Notice that it said that it dried up from the roots up. So he spoke directly to the root. See, one of the things about faith is you need to speak to the root. You don't need to be so speaking in generalities. A lot of folks, they try to do a shotgun effect when it comes to faith. Now, you need to get specific with your faith. You need to target whatever it is you need to target with your faith. Jesus targeted the roots. The tree died from the roots. And that's when he looked at Peter and he said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And then he begins to tell him how to have faith in God. So let's read on just a little bit more. He says, have faith in God, verse 22, for verily I say in you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, the Lord just began to lay some things out to Peter. What's the first thing he did? Well, the first thing he says, whosoever you will say unto this mountain, say. See, there are absolutely two principles in faith. There's more and we'll talk about it, but the main two principles is you saying, talking, speaking with your mouth. He says, whoever will say to this mountain. Notice that. You can't hope. Come on now. You can't wish. You got to say. You got to speak to whatever that mountain is, whatever that problem is, whatever that situation is. You've got to speak it out of your mouth. Notice then it goes on, whosoever will say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but believe. See, so then second thing after saying is to believe. You have to believe what you're saying. You can't just randomly say, well, I believe God's going to do this and I believe God's going to do that. It's got to be from the heart. It's got to be a true, genuine belief in your heart. Notice he said you won't doubt in your heart, but you'll believe what you say. Then you'll have whatsoever you say. Anybody notice that? See, if you look at that between the saying and the believing, then see, that lines right up then with Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, right? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, right? There's the saying, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. See, it's the same principle. That's what Jesus was teaching here. And so Paul takes it on and then begins to bring and talk to the Romans about it. This getting saved thing, it's a matter of confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart. See, that's the faith to get saved. Well, you take that same faith that you get saved with. Now you take that and start applying that to the other things in the Word of God. Amen. I've taught this before because it was revelation to me at the time, and I'll just mention it over in Mark chapter 4. You know, there's the parable of the sower, and I will not go there, but there's the parable of the sower. You remember that it said, you know, that the sower went to sow, and some seeds fell by the wayside, and some fell on stony ground, some fell in the thorns, and some fell on good ground. And Jesus, when he begins to speak out the parable, he talks about the fact that that was by the wayside was where the word was sown, and Satan came immediately and stole the word. And then he talked about stony, that they didn't have any depth in themselves, and they had the word to spring up, and then it died out. And he talked about the thorns, how the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, would choke out the word and they become unfruitful. And then he talked about the good ground that brought some 30, some 60, and 100 fold. Now, here's the thing that when God showed it to me, it just blew my mind, was this. I was raised, you know, not in church, but when I got saved, I was in a denomination. And basically all they ever taught was salvation. You know, thank God for salvation. That's what will get you saved. I thank God I got saved through that a denominational church that taught salvation. But here's the thing. They never did teach any farther than salvation. Every message I ever heard was based on salvation one way or another. Basically, when you went to church, once you got saved, they were preaching to sinners to try to get sinners saved. And, you know, you just sit and listen. And it didn't stop that it wasn't a good message, but it was a message pretty well aimed at those that were lost. Now, when I got the revelation and you know, when I was a preacher at the time, and I'd always preach, you know, talking about that parable and using it for salvation, you know, that by the wayside was Satan come and stole this, when you was preaching to a lost person and they rejected the word of God, rejected Jesus, and, you know, and then some that received the word, but they just couldn't hang, they would backslide, you know, and then just, you know, through it was all salvation. And then the Lord said, did you notice there that it said the sower sows the word, not just the word of salvation? You see what I want you to see here? The sower sows the word. What word? The word of salvation, the word of healing, the word of prosperity, the word, every promise, the word. What God promised in His word is what the sower was sowing. And I just went, wow. Because I'd never been able to, I'd never seen that because of the way I was brought up. Had a dear lady call me or text me yesterday. And, I, you know, sometimes when you don't know people, you don't know where to answer. But they said they watched our program and enjoyed the program, wanted to ask me a question. So I said, okay, ask me a question. And they said, what do you think about women preachers? And I began to kind of explain to her and show her to her from the word, you know, what the Bible said, you know, because most of us, and I didn't know where she was coming from. And then she come back and she said, well, I'm sorry to hear that you believe in women preachers because I enjoyed your program. I've been trying to find somebody that was like Faith that I could watch their TV program. So I just told her, I said, well, you know, I came from the same thing you came from. But then I went ahead to just say this. I said, you know, of course, I don't know if I should get into teaching this or not now, but since I got into that, but I came down to the point to this, and this is one of the points I always come down to when we're talking about that. The same word for woman and wife in the Greek is the same word. Paul was dealing with wives that were embarrassing their husbands, speaking out during either, I've heard business meetings, but that's not in the Bible, just during when they would gather together, from what the Bible says. And when Paul was talking about for his woman, it was a shame to her speaking and your women, let your women be silent. He was talking about wives submitting to the authority of their husbands. Now, you see, some of you are looking at me funny. You know, I don't know about that. Well, see, you have to go then to see Anna when Jesus was being dedicated in the temple. Anna was a prophetess in the temple, stayed there 24/7. She actually lived there. And when she saw Jesus there, she said, I've seen the Messiah. And the Bible says she went out and told everybody that was looking for the way of redemption about Jesus. Well, what was she doing? She's preaching. Okay. Now, I'm just giving you a little lesson so I don't want to just leave you hanging and wondering. Okay. And then, of course, I kind of went on to let her know this. Because this is the thing. She brought up the thing that, you know, you've got a preacher's got to be the husband of one wife. Well, it says bishop, first of all, not just a preacher. qualifications of a bishop, a husband of one wife. You know, I just kind of happened to mention, you know, so if that's a prerequisite for a preacher, then a young man that's not married can't preach. Right? He's not the husband of one wife. And a guy that's been preaching for 20 years, if his wife died, then he would no longer be the husband of one wife and he would have to quit preaching. So it could be that other things were going on there, right? Matter of fact, it goes on and talks about their children, having their children under. Man, that would just about disqualify most of the preachers you know if you had to judge them by their children. Don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good. And then besides that, if you're going to take those things and say a woman can't preach, then you have to take a woman's got to be silent and it's a shame for her to speak in the church, right? You can't just mealy-mally and pick what you want. So that means if they can't speak and it's a shame for them to speak, they have to be silent. That means they cannot sing, they cannot testify, they cannot say anything once they come into the sanctuary. Am I wrong? Is that right? Let your women be silent in the church. It's a shame for them to speak. It means you can't even say hello. Come on now. You see, that's not what God meant. But people see, because they've been raised up in that kind of thing. You know, so that's why, again, it's important to get over into the Word so you know what the Word says. Okay, so it's hard to have faith in the Word if you believe a lot of times it's religious traditions that have been passed down. And, you know, that's not going to work because that's not the Word of God. God watches over His Word to hasten it, not what a denomination believes or what people believe. Come on now, folks. See, you've got to get a hold of this. The Bible says there's neither male nor female, Greek nor Jew, in Christ. God doesn't look at the gender. He used Deborah as a judge in the Old Testament. He used Phoebe as a deaconess in the New Testament. And the same qualifications for deacon are the same qualifications for bishop. Somebody must have forgot to tell Jesus that. Paul that. Right? No, it's just, see, that's, I just, we have to get to the place where we really believe what the Word says. Whatever we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, that's what's going to come to pass when it's backed by the Word of God, not by the word of people or the testimony or what other people or how they've been raised or whatever. And, you know, folks would get mad. They just have to get mad. I struggled with this. That's all I'd ever known. I had to struggle. I had to struggle with divorce. Because, you know, I'd always been taught that, you know, once you got divorced, that's it. You know, I mean, right? Come on, see, some of you haven't heard any of this thing because you haven't heard any foolishness preached. But I know I've been around churches that even if somebody got divorced and they were coming to church, they'd sit in the back. One deacon in one church said, "I'll tell you what, if that was me, I'd be happy if they just let me come and sit down in the back seat." Some of his family ended up divorced later on. Come on. You know, we know that God doesn't want divorce, but it happens. Guess what? God forgives divorce just like He does drinking and cussing and everything else. Thank God for His grace. We all mess up from time to time. One mess up's not any bigger than the other mess up. Now, it may affect more lives, but we've got to still stay with what the Word says. And see, here's the thing. You've got to interpret the Bible through the Bible. If you're going to say that, you know, can't use women or, you know, don't believe in all that, then you're going to have to take it all. But you've got to research and go back and see, well, did God use women anywhere? Anybody notice where Jesus had a company of women with Him most of the time helping Him? Right? I mean, you know, remember Lydia, the sore of purple? And I mean, there's just look in the Word. That's one of the things I like, The Chosen, when you watch that. Jesus in The Chosen has men and women, and I believe that's exactly the way Jesus of the Bible was. And by the way, if you haven't watched The Chosen, you need to watch The Chosen. Just throwing that out there, didn't cost you anything. You need to watch it. It's biblically based. It's really it follows the Word of God. Now, let me move on. So he said, so far you say to this mountain. Then he says, you've got to believe and not doubt in your heart what you say is going to come to pass. And then you'll have whatsoever saith. And so we see that that goes along right with what Paul taught over here in Romans about getting saved. It's the same thing. Confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in your heart. Now, the next thing that Jesus moved on to there was praying. He says, therefore I say unto you, what things do you desire when you pray? Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Another thing about faith is when you ask God, you got to believe that you got it right now. Now faith is. Faith is now. Jesus says, when you pray, believe that you receive and you'll have it. In other words, I believe I've got it right now and the manifestation is on its way. See, in my heart, I've already got it. Do you understand that God calls those things that be not as though they were? As far as God's concerned, everybody's already saved because He's already done everything about salvation. Everybody's already blessed in God's, I'm talking about in God's eyes, because He's already done all these things. Now, you're not seeing the manifestation because people haven't received by faith what God has done. So what He's telling us is, He's saying, be like me. The minute you ask, just believe you got it. The minute Jesus died on the cross, as far as God's concerned, the sin problem's done. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Notice that we might be made the righteousness. Jesus became sin for us. He took on Himself our sin so that we could take upon ourselves His righteousness. But we have to believe God by faith in Jesus Christ so that we can become the righteousness of God. God did it immediately. We had it. But there was that manifestation to come for us to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. You see, it's the same thing with everything you're believing God for in faith. The minute you ask God, the only way I know to talk to God is just pray. I mean, I talk to Him and sometimes it don't look like a prayer. I'm just talking to Him. But in any case, it's a form of prayer. But any time I ask God, I'm going to believe I receive it. Right then. Now, the manifestation might not come for a bit, but you know what? That doesn't matter. Because I'm going to stand in faith and believe God no matter what. Because God can't lie. Did you hear what I said? If there's a problem, it's on my part, not on God's part. And that's hard for a lot of people to handle that. And that's why most people won't teach faith, is because they don't want to admit that they've got a problem. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. God didn't lie. He didn't think about what He was going to. He wrote it down in His Word so we could believe it. And we're the ones that many times has a faith problem, has a believing problem. But He says, you've got to believe that you receive it right now and you will have it. Well, James tells us, he says, about us having ourselves to the place to where we need the wisdom of God. And he says, you know, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But then he goes on and he says, but let him ask in faith. I'll read it to you. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Anybody know what wavering is? That means it's not solid. And let me just kind of put this in a way that helps you understand this. It means if I'm at the top of the ladder is just as solid as if I'm at the bottom of the ladder. No matter how tall it is, I don't get up there and it's, you see, that's wavering. Anybody ever been up high in a place and it feels like it's wavering? That's what he's saying. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Another man, I'm just as solid right now when I ask, and I'll be just that solid 2 weeks from now if I haven't seen the manifestation. I'm not wavering thinking, well, I'm wondering if God's going to do this. Reckon how God will do this. Wonder if this will come to pass. You see, nothing wavering. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Notice that. So he says, you've got to ask in faith, and you cannot waver. Now, he goes on down, and he gets into forgiveness. You have to make sure that you walk in forgiveness. Notice what he says there. He says, while you're praying. In other words, no use asking if you don't just go ahead and forgive. When you stand praying, forgive so that your Heavenly Father can forgive you. Because if you don't forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. See, a lot of times we're trying to harbor ill feelings. And you know, I know somebody's thinking, well, you just don't know what they did to me. Well, you see, here's the thing. If you can't forgive them, then it's like you putting a chain and ball around your leg and dragging it around all the time. That's always with you. You have to let that go if you want to walk in faith with God. Well, yeah, but that's just not fair, Pastor Mike, because, you know, what they did to me was not right and they ought to have to pay. Well, you know, I agree with you. But here's the thing. What we did to the Lord Jesus Christ was not right. Now, do you think we ought to have to pay? Or do you love the fact that He forgave you of your sins and went to hell for you? You see, do you understand now the magnitude of forgiveness? The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross said, "Forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing." He couldn't go to the cross and become sin for us if He had any ill feelings toward them crucifying Him on a cross. If you want to receive something from God, you have to forgive those that have wronged you. Now, I don't mean you go huggy-huggy, kissy-kissy, lovey-lovey all over them. You just got to get it settled in your heart that I'm not going to hold this anymore. I'm going to let go of this. No matter what they did, when I look at them, I'm not going to want to run over and slap their face. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You're laughing because you've been there and done that. I'd like to just get a hold of them one time. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And that's hard for us because we really want to see them get theirs. But he says, you've got to forgive while you're praying. See, and that's one of the keys to making sure that you get your faith or your prayer answered, is making sure that you forgive. Now, one other thing, and I'll try to be as quick as I can with this thing. James talks about over there, and matter of fact, I won't even go over there. But James talks about the fact, he said, listen, he said, you know, you say you've got faith. He said, you show me your faith by what you say, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. In other words, James said, put some action to your faith. If I'm going to confess it and I'm going to believe it, then I need to act like I believe it. Come on, some folks will say and pray and then do just the opposite, that absolutely canceled out what they just said and said they believed. Come on, isn't that right? They'll do just the opposite of that, and they're canceling out their prayer. They're canceling out their faith because their actions goes opposite of what they said they believed. I've said this before and talked about this before. I've fasted before at times with people and come into agreement, you know, maybe fasting for somebody or something. And Tim and I, Tim Tackett, going to be with the Lord now. He and I, we ran together a whole lot back in our earlier days, and we would just get together and pray and together a lot, and we'd fast, and we were fasting with somebody one time over a situation, and you know we determined we're going to fast for a week for this person. They needed a healing, and so we three had agreed on that, and so you know I held to my fast, him held to his fast, and when we got together, the lady still ended up dying. And we got back together, and the other person said, I figured there wasn't no use in it. They was going to die anyway, so I just fasted a couple of days there. What happened? Well, he was wavering. He broke that fast. He didn't stand on that. He didn't show his actions. He said he believed it should be healed, but his actions didn't show that out. I'm going to tell you, I got hungry that week. But every time I'd have a hunger pain, I thought about that, and I just prayed and just watered what we were believing for. You know, say, well, she died. It don't matter. I held my faith. I held my position. I acted on what I believed. And she went on to be with the Lord, and, you know, she just beat us there. That's all I can say about that. But what I'm telling you is don't say and try to believe something, then act differently. Amen. When we were getting ready to build this church, I sought the Lord a lot about even coming back to Magoffin County, because Pastor Ed doesn't like for me to talk about this, but, you know, the people that knew us in this town just knew us from, we used to run the video store downtown. You know, we had a video store down there, had X-rated movies in it, you know, all the things, you know. And once we rededicated our lives back, we were going to church over in Johnson County. And, we helped build a church over there and establish a church. I was an assistant pastor when God called me to come back to Magoffin County, you know. And we've been through like a lot of, we're talking about, you know, it was my first experience being part of full gospel and learning things and still didn't know a whole lot, just to be honest with you. But I knew for a fact that God had called us over here to start a church. I knew that in my heart. And so we came and you know, 30 people came the first service, but at 10 minutes till, just like it is now, you don't know if anybody's going to show up or not. Right? You know, it was, there's nobody there, just me and my family and Matthew. he was there, you know, but then people started showing up. And, you know, this is a result of what happened down there. But here's the thing. When we got ready to build this building, this church, this facility, when I went to the banker to about getting the money, the one banker I went to, when they looked at my figures, they said, God, that's a lot of money for a church. And at that time it was $350,000. And she said, can't you do something smaller? I said, I can, but it's not what God wants. You see, what I was doing was sticking to my guns. I was acting on my faith. This is what God wants. I don't know how 30 people is going to pay back $350,000. Think about it for a minute. That was a lot of money back in 99. Still a lot of money, you know. And to make a long story short, I've told this so many times. Saturday night, phone rings. I'm crying because I'm listening to a message. Why some churches are blessed of God and some are not. So talking about missions. And it's a banker saying, I heard you're looking for money for a church. I said, yes, I am. She said, come see me Monday. Look what God did. And I mean, I'm not going to even go into all the miracles that happened while this church was being built and all the people that helped and people that didn't know the Lord that gave and did things. And it just blow your mind. And we didn't beg. We didn't take a bucket and get down on the corner. We believed God. I had a pastor stand out here when we had the foundation poured. And I had a pastor of a church come up to me and was asking about all this, you know, and I told him, he asked what it was going to cost, and I told him the amount it was going to cost, and he said, well, now, brother, he said, well, have you got the money to pay for it? I said, no, we borrowed it. He said, now, brother, I believe debts of the devil. We're going to pay cash. We're going to build our church. We're going to save money. We're going to pay cash for our... I said, well, you know, you can believe that if you want to, but the Bible says you'll be the lender and not the borrower. So if you're the lender, that would make you an accomplice to the borrower, wouldn't it? Right? Now, I know the Bible says to owe no man nothing. In other words, don't get yourself bound up by that. But there's that. I mean, that's how the financial system works. If you can pay it back. And see, I knew I had faith I was going to believe God to pay it back. Well, to make that story short, there's never been a church put on the property that they bought. Somebody else owns the property now, and it never did go through. Why? There's different ways to believe God. He wanted to believe God to get the money and just pay for it. But, you know, if you've got to wait 15 years to pay for something, how many knows the price just went up 15 years? You can buy it at this price and believe God for the money to pay for it. And you know what? God's still working miracles. It blows my mind what you all give. It just blows my mind. Think about it. This thing could have already been paid off. The original loan could, but we built the family center. I met with the banker yesterday just looking to see how things were on track. And you know what? So far this year, we're on track for more money to come into this church than came last year. Thank God for that. You ought to just give God glory, because if you're giving, that means God's blessing. Amen. You see? But we've always acted on our faith. Sister Minerva and Darrell and Rick and them came from a church and some different places when they came and joined up with us. You know, they used to make me nervous all the time because, you know, they've been sitting under the Word, under fellows that have been under the full gospel message a long time, a lot longer than I had. But anyway, you know, one of the things they said after just a little while of being here, they said, "Pastor, we like it because when you say you're going to do something, you do it." And we do. We just go ahead and get it done. Why? Because if I believe God wants me to do it, I'm going to do it one way or another. If y'all remember, before we started the family center out here, building it, we were ready to build it. And then God just put a check in my spirit. And then some things went on in the financial world and whatever. And then after that, God said, "Go ahead and do it now." And we were able to go ahead and do it. And it's completed. And we're still paying for it. Praise God. And we're going to finish. See, it paid off. Amen. You see, that's action to your faith. Sometimes if you're waiting to see the manifestation before you ever do anything, then that's not faith. See, what you do is you believe God, you act on what you believe, and then once the manifestation comes, then you move on to something else and believe God for something else. Amen. Or you can believe God for a whole lot of things at one time. Amen. There's no limitations with God, the limitations with us. And so we just have to continue to be patient and let God move. The Bible teaches us, He says, you know, that we shouldn't cast away our confidence, which has great recompense of reward. But we have need of patience, that after we've done the will of God, we receive the promise. That's Hebrews 10:35. So that's where we're at. Church, God wants us operating in faith. He wants us receiving all of His promises. But we're going to have to do it by faith. It doesn't happen just automatically. Right? How many knows it's God's will for everybody to be saved? I know that because the Word says God's not willing that any should perish, but all will come to repentance. So God's will is for everybody to be saved. How many believes everybody's going to get saved? They're not. And it's not because of God's fault. It's because they refuse to act in faith upon the Word of God that says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Just acting on those simple scriptures will get you over into the kingdom of God. You'll be saved and on your way to heaven. This morning, if you've not done that, I want to invite you this morning to accept Jesus as your Savior. Use that measure of faith that God has given you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'll assure your place in heaven, and then get that Word of God and build up your faith and start watching what God does in your life, in your family, and even in your area, depending on what you believe in God for. Amen? Stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You this morning, God, that You are God. We thank You, Lord, that Your Word is true and is forever settled, and we just have to get our hearts right and lined up with Your Word to believe You, Father God, and to act on what we believe all the time. We're speaking it out, and we're thanking You for it. Now, Father, I pray right now, Lord God, if there's someone here that doesn't know You, that today will be the day that they confess You with their mouth and believe in their heart and become a child of the kingdom of God. And we just give You glory and praise for that. In Jesus' name.